Hey there, guys. This is Billy. Got Sean and Cade. We're back with you again today. Wanted to spend a few minutes to go back in time, give you a little bit of a history lesson on a cause that we started here several years ago. Now, we'll warn you that we're in the middle of a massive restructuring, remodeling of our office. So this is chaos. And we will tell you that we're going to have a fun grand opening once this is all finished, but I'm kicked out of my office. I don't even have an office right now. Cade and Sean, they're packing stuff into their offices. They don't have any room to even turn around. So we're all going through this process, and hopefully for the next few weeks, it'll be behind us. But we're still coming at you. We're still bringing you shows. We don't take any days off around here. So here we are going to talk about something that's near and dear to all of us, and I want to give you a background. Something called Livestride Foundation. Now, this is a nonprofit, 501c3, and this was created back in 2010. Now, the reason this all came into formation was after the death of my younger brother, Brody, and he tragically took his own life in 2009. This was 6 days after I opened this office. So I decided to go independent. I left Smith Barney. The world was in chaos back then. If you remember, there was a lot of real estate crisis, subprime mortgages. People were losing their homes and their jobs, and banks were going out of business. It was a wild time. It was a very deep, severe recession. And right during the middle of it, I decided to move on and go independent. I was very positive about it and feeling great about the future, getting my business up and running. It was a very challenging time, but I was loving it. Until 6 days later, we got a call that Brody was dead. The police found him in his home. He is out in Fort Collins, Colorado, going to graduate school. And he took his own life. And that was a very earth-shattering experience to go through. It rocked everybody in my family. And so kind of at that point, time stood still. And we started putting the pieces back together. I felt like I needed to do something to memorialize him. And what came to mind was to create a foundation that could serve the youth and help youth to find reasons to live, find reasons to continue to strive for something better in their life, whatever challenges they may be dealing with. And so this formation of idea came from Livestride. Sean was here for most of this. After we created it, formed it, I had an ex-employee by the name of Bree Anderson, who was very helpful in getting it up and running. Several employees who worked for me, by the way. Chrissy Bourne was another one. Those two started with me when I opened this firm, and neither had any experience in financial services. So looking back, it's pretty amazing how we got here. But kind of getting a business back going again and then deciding to start a foundation, you know, that was a big undertaking. But we got all the things filed with the state and got our nonprofit registration and started out, just had big plans, had a board of directors, had everything going, and created these events and wanted to do a whole bunch of stuff to serve the youth. You guys will remember one of the big events back then was the annual baseball tournament. And we'd host a baseball tournament that had kids aged from 8 clear up to 16, every age group in between. And heck, we'd rent out, I don't know, I think at one time we were renting 13 or 14 different ballparks to host all these teams that were coming in to play in this tournament. Now, there were hundreds of kids obviously participating, thousands with the families. And then we'd host a home run derby along with that, which we'd put together. And the amount of work that went into this, I don't think anyone could fully appreciate it until they came out and took part in it. But we would put these fences up and have everybody entering. And we ended up, I think that one year we had 600 entries in the home run derby. A lot of fun. We still have great memories from it. Right, Sean?
Memories, yes. Some of those I've blacked out because it did feel like a lot of chaos at the time, but it was definitely fun. I joined your firm in 2011, so just like a year after Live Astride was formed. So I was kind of at the base of that too. And the baseball tournament and the home run derby were a lot of fun, and it grew. I mean, was what 60 plus teams, I think,
Yeah,
at its peak.
we
And
got, well, ever actually more than that. We had anywhere from 10 to 20 teams in each division. And so we were handling sometimes we had a one time the peak, I think, with 90 something
And
teams.
we had fields going in Davis County, Weber County, Morgan County, all over the place, basically took up all the available fields, and getting the umpires there and organizing all that. I mean, it was a ton of work, but I still have people that'll come up to me because now I've got younger cousins playing and being like, "Hey, we want to play in the Live Astride tournament." And it just we stopped doing it, I think maybe because it was at capacity and we were at capacity. But what we did with that is we raised a lot of money to do that, and gave that back in the form of scholarships to kids, and also to help those in need. I remember a mom, single mother that had lost her husband. I think it was an accident or something, and helped her out with some funds when she was in need, and her kids. So we did a lot of good
We
with
did. There
that
was
money that we raised.
another year that we raised the money, and it went toward a family who their son was suffering from a rare form of cancer. And that was the Talbot family. It was Cameron Talbot, who I still know. And he is a baseball player. I think he's a senior this year at Morgan High School. And he came through that, but they had to go clear to New York and stay for, seemed like 3 or 4 months trying to find the right doctors who could help him overcome this cancer that nearly claimed his life. They thought they were going to lose him at one point. So the money went toward that. So every year we put all this work in, we asked for volunteers, and everybody did so much to put this together that hopefully the community will always remember and appreciate. We did it for 6 years, I'm thinking.
I think at least 6 years. And Billy, I thought we did it also. Cade had a team and tournament to play in at the time because he was just a young pup running around the field. Remember
Guys,
that?
I
Yeah.
dominated that tournament.
I'm
Oh,
sure you
yeah.
did.
Yeah, I think Cade's team won it 2 or 3 years, his age division. But it was always fun to not only put it together, but have a chance to watch Cade a little bit play. We didn't get to watch him a lot because we were running around so busy with everything. Oh my God, some of the stories of the umpires, just trying to get the umpires to come out and show up. I didn't realize how big of a challenge that was, but you need umpires obviously for every game, and you're trying to get two umpires, and then you're paying them, of course. We didn't ask them to do it for free. We're paying them, I think we were paying them back then $45 or $50 a game.
Yeah, that's right.
One guy, and Sean remembers him pretty well. We had him assigned at the field in Morgan, and we play all day, so all day long on a Friday, and then the next morning Saturday rolls around, and another day of bowl games and the championship games. Well, we get there and we're missing a few umpires, and this guy named Pasquale, he's nowhere to be found, and we're calling and trying to figure out where he's at. Well, he comes stumbling out from down behind right field at the river. He'd slept down at the river that night, and I don't know what he did or how he made it back, but he did, and he umped the rest of the day. No shower, no restroom, no nothing.
I'm sure he peed in the Weber River,
Well, I probably
and
did.
maybe he pulled a brown out of there for dinner that night. But yeah, those are just a few of the stories, and super fun tournament. We also put a trail run together to raise some money. Remember doing that, Billy, way back?
Yeah, we called
Part
that
with it.
the Kid Custer Trail Run, and that was a nickname that Brody was given many years ago. And yeah, we did a 5K, a 10K, and then a 25K, and did all that up at Snow Basin trails in the mountains. It was great, but tons of work to put that on.
Yeah, it really was a lot of fun, and we met a lot of great people. But then we started thinking, you know, what could we do to give back, you know, and that's how you kind of wound up on the boot camp being like the highlight for Live a Stride, right? So we focus all of our energy and free time, you know, we're doing this outside of office hours. This is what we're not doing this all day. I don't want to give the wrong impression. We are here working, but this was mostly after work or on the weekends, putting all this stuff together. On the boot camp.
I think people should probably know that why we started this and what the whole point was. And I guess it was, again, it started with this feeling of I owe something to Brody, and I don't want to see any other kids or young adults go down a path that they think they can't turn back from and make this decision that's a life-ending decision that's maybe in the spur of the moment or just something that doesn't seem like they can ever bear or deal with. And then they make this decision that they can never reverse. And I wanted to maybe find ways to give people something to feel good about. And of course, with our profession being in finance, and I taught kids at several other conferences, just simple concepts about compound interest and watching your money grow and how to invest, what it is all about. Because most kids are never exposed to that when they're young. I think that's because a lot of parents don't understand this. This is an area of, so a lot of people feel like it's beyond their capability to enter. It's a realm they'll never understand, so they stay away from it or avoid it or get involved in something that they shouldn't, where it's speculative. So we created this event called the Financial Boot Camp. And that first year, we had very few numbers. I don't think, Sean, you were here for that first year, but we did it in the basement of a local bank, and we had maybe 15 or 20 students, and most of them were children of my clients. And our clients brought them out, and I told them that we wanted to teach kids how to invest, how to get started. So we just did some basic things and interactive games. I think that one was maybe a 2-hour program. It was fun. Then we went back and got some new ideas. It's kind of like running a marathon. Right when you're done, you think, I'll never do that again. That was tough. And a few days go by, and it was pretty good. I think I can do better next time. And you start coming up with some new ideas on how you're going to do better. And that's what we did. So the following year, we changed some things, implemented new things. Well, by the third or fourth year, we were dealing with more than we could handle in numbers. So by that fourth year, we called up to the university, Weber State, and asked them if we could reserve the facility up there. And we ended up with maybe 300 students. Mm-hmm. And we just kept getting bigger and bigger, and we made it an all-day thing. So the local school districts are now busing their students up to us, dropping them off in the morning and then picking them up at 2:00 in the afternoon. So we have an whole day program, and we divide it out into multiple classrooms, and we have a keynote speaker, kind of a motivational type speaker every year. And from that standpoint, we've had some pretty well-known names come in and provide their background and just their story. This year, we have a former Super Bowl champion who's going to be on hand and give a story about humble beginnings and growing up without anything, very poor. I think it'll be a fun story to hear. We had Mark Eaton before he passed away. We've had Alima Harrington, a number of people that are high profile with great stories to share. And then after that, we have the business panel. We call it group of experts who from the local community have found their calling in life and provide the students with great feedback on what it took to get where they're at, both successes and their failures, how they learned from those, what they consider to be the keys to success. And then we tie that all in, of course, with building and preserving wealth. So avoiding the debt, avoiding those pitfalls that many students find themselves in, but then setting themselves up for financial prosperity through accumulating wealth and investing and making smart decisions. Why did I start this? Well, way back, some of you have heard this story before, but when I was 14 years old and I was exercising horses and aspiring to become a jockey, I was just then starting to make decent money. And back then, you know, decent money was $1,000 a week. That was a lot of money for a kid my age. And it was starting to come. And one day I was at the local coffee shop, because I always went with my dad to the coffee shop. And it was just a whole bunch of farmers up in town back in those days. And I miss those days, to be honest with you. Everyone got together. It was the afternoon, done with their work on the farms, and just sit around visiting, having coffee. You know, coffee was at 4 o'clock, usually 4 to 5 o'clock every day. And one day, this old gentleman asked me, "What are you doing with that money you're making, Billy?" Well, I said, "Well, I'm saving it, most of it." And I thought he was going to commend me and tell me how smart I was for doing that, but he didn't. He actually said, "Well, savings, okay, but if you want to be really smart, you start investing it." Well, I didn't know what he was even talking about. Investing was a foreign word at that time. I looked at him probably fairly quizzically, and he said, "Just come back tomorrow and I'll explain further." And so I did. I went back the next day for sure. And he pulls out a newspaper that he had laying there in the seat next to him. And he says, "Now look here." And he opens it up, had me sitting next to him, and he points down to the investment section of the newspaper, the finance section. And he starts to scroll through these whole page and series of columns of numbers and things I'd never looked at before or knew how to read. And it got to a section labeled mutual funds. And then from there, he went down further. It went to different fund families. And he went to a family that was called Invesco funds. And then from there, he went down further. And it was all the funds that Invesco provided. And he went to this one called Industrial Income Fund. And he showed me it was called the quotation or the NAV, the net asset value of that fund for the day. And then the next column showed me up or down for the day. And then the next column showed up or down for the week. And then the next column, what was the 5-year rate of return average, and so on and so forth. And he says, "This is the one you should invest in." Now, how he knew that I should invest in that particular one was just because he invested in it, obviously. But yeah, he wasn't a financial advisor, that's for sure. And we couldn't do something like that today, and we wouldn't. We're not giving these kids investment advice like that particularly. But the lesson was learned. And the key was, I took that advice and I did something about it. Not only did he show me the fund, he brought with him an application that I could fill out and send in order to start my own personal investment account. And importantly, there was a section there that asked, "Do you want to send in monthly contributions?" And he looked at that and said, "Yes, you sure do." And so I filled that out and I checked the box and I said, "All right, I'm going to start this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trusting him." And I put $50 a month. Well, that was the starting point. You know, I sent in my $2,000. And then I did $50 a month. And over time, I can just fast forward and say, that was the changing point of my whole life. And what it set me up for was a lifelong journey of new knowledge, education about investing, the benefits, how that time is your friend, if you're just willing to step back and let time do the work. And so I felt so obligated, knowing what I know now, that I really felt the need to share this with others and kids. I felt like I was lucky, so lucky to have somebody who wanted to spend just a few minutes and explain to me what this was all about. Now, of course, I could have been like a lot of kids and just said, "Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to go buy the new toy or the dirt bike or whatever else." But I didn't. And something in me said, this is a good idea. And I just started down that path, and I can't tell you how important it was from the standpoint of just compounding of interest. And you guys know, Kate and Sean, that I've taught for many years. Now you guys teach the class on the compounding of interest and the rule of 72, and starting with $2,000 when you're 14 and just letting that compound, even if you added nothing to it. We show these students how they can turn a $2,000 investment into $1 million plus over time. And it's shown with mathematical formula, not just based on hearsay or speculation. It's showing historical rates of return for the market and what that compounds to over time.
Yeah, we do use that example. And I think that's part of why you started this and why I've jumped on board with it, is because time, you want to catch these kids when they're young. And so they end up maybe grasping onto something like you did with your buddy in the coffee shop. So we're running through all sorts of examples like that for these kids. And I look at it and I read the statistics, like 2/3 of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And just to be blunt, that's a joke. And we're trying to change that, where these kids can realize, hey, I don't need to be part of that. You know, my grandpa was poor, my parents were poor, so I'm going to be poor. Like, no, that's, you don't have to have that destiny, because you copy, we get a lot of what our habits are today from our parents and grandparents. And sometimes you got to break that mold. So we're trying to show them the way to break the mold. And I don't care, if you don't go into a career that makes a lot of money, you can still become very wealthy. And this is all part of our presentation. So I guess we're just trying to get a bug in these kids' ear, and the ones that will just take action. You don't have to take a lot of action, but just like you, it'll change the course of your whole life. And then also falls back to, all right, if I'm secure financially, how do you think I'm going to feel, mentally? You're going to be a lot better off than if you are worried about money all the time, trying to put food on the table, trying to pay your student loans back, just stressed about money all the time. But if you can flip that around and you control your own financial destiny, it really helps with the mental health aspect. And we do have a class on mental health. Billy's wife, Heather, teaches that. And I think that it all ties together.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, I'm going to bring Kate in here to this conversation a little bit, but we can't go forward doing the same things and expecting a different result. And
that's,
I learned
called
that
insanity, dude.
It is. When I was a kid, my dad worked his tail off, and that's all he ever has known. And he still is. And he's 82 years old now. And he's out there on the farm and he's just going strong. And I admire him for it. He's doing work that he's not getting paid compensation that he should for the amount of work he's putting in. I looked at things a little different, and I wanted to maybe have maybe a different path. Now I found my calling. I love what I do. The financial end, understanding investing, understanding the economy and how capitalism works. And I just felt compelled to share that. And I feel like if Brody would have known these things, he wouldn't have made the decision he did. If he would have been able to see a light at the end of the tunnel. And this is what I want to share is, all you out there, it doesn't matter if young or old. This isn't just for the young. You could be in, midlife and still take some great learning lessons and advice from this conversation, is knowing that investing is for all of us. And if you get to where you're doing it properly and looking long-term, and then you can turn around and teach others, the next generation, your kids, your grandkids, then we're starting to change. It's a snowball effect, trying to change the world. We're not talking about speculation here, folks. Okay. We're not advising people to go out and roll dice and invest in things that's total gamble. Cade was one of the first students. Of course, I had all my kids from the time they were able to understand, teaching them about saving, the piggy bank stuff, and then the investing, and teaching them, as soon as I felt like they could understand the concept of what investing in stocks really is. And Kate has several experiences with that. And then he chose ultimately to follow me into this career. And he's done a great job writing articles for magazines. And so he has a good foundation of it. But that was because I feel like I made it a priority to teach him that stuff that I'd learned.
I went to the boot camp for several years as a student. I wanted to go every year because I always learned something new. But now, from this standpoint of being a presenter, I get to not only listen to my dad speak at the first of the event, but also the keynote speaker. And then I'm presenting with Sean, and it's just really rewarding when they're asking you questions and when they really want to learn. Like you guys are saying, there's going to be some kids that don't really care. They're out in the hallways, they're talking with their friends, or they're on their phone, but you get a good chunk of them that really want to learn. And then you guys were going to mention, but you get emails and calls after the fact of kids that have further questions and how they can get started and what they can do, because they're determined. They want to break that barrier. They want to become wealthy. So it's been awesome. It's been an awesome event, and getting up to like 500-600 students, it takes a lot of planning, but like the marathon analogy, it's so rewarding after you're done.
Yeah.
And awesome.
We've gotten a lot of just personal satisfaction knowing that we're changing these lives. You know, I wrote my first book along the lines of trying to put this information into, let's say, easy to understand format for people who maybe don't know how to get started with investing or why they should. And I try to break that down into simple steps and explain the benefit. So we kind of talk a lot about the possibilities that are out there and what things can grow to. And that's worked time and time again. And so it's just continually staying with the fundamentals, we call them the principles of investing, not chasing things, not getting out there and going crazy on some speculative asset class or meme stocks, things like that, but are soup of the day, but staying with something that works long term. We've been proud of it. It's coming up. I get the boot camp for 2024, fast approaching. It's March 19th this year, held again at Weber State University. It'll start at 8 a.m. Anyone listening to this, if you're in the area, young or old, you want to attend this boot camp, we'd love to have you. Feel free to call us or get on our website and send us an email to put your name down. We just need to have the numbers for capacity reasons or for lunches that we order. It's free to attend. We provide everyone lunch and a lot of prizes, a lot of good information that you'll take away from it. Again, teachers that have shown up just keep coming back every year. We have teachers that bring several hundred students every year just because they know the value added and is changing the lives of those students. Sean, please tell the story about what's his name? The guy that that ran out of gas. And
Mr. Kevin Barr. Yeah, we were, again, at the field, calling umpires, where are you at? Game's ready to start. Well, he's on the freeway and he's out of gas. So you had to go and push his car, if I remember right, and roll him up to a gas station, pay for his gas.
He didn't have any
money. And you guys were making this sound bad, but these are just kind of the inner workings that you don't get to see when you're hosting an event. But yeah, Billy literally had to push this guy's car to a gas station, pay for his gas, then get him to the game. And then, of course, he wants to get paid on top of the gas money that you gave him too. So
we had some good guys. I don't know how we survived it. This event here, the boot camp, though, has made it all worth it. We feel like it's the culmination event. We're still doing it. It started clear back then in 2010, and here we are going on our 14th year. So I wanted to explain to you all listening what we're doing and why we're doing it. It's a neat thing to see what's going on. And I think if you look back at all the hundreds, well, now thousands, if you add them all up, who have attended that, I can't help but think that we're making a big difference in their lives as adults now. So keep aware, stay tuned to what we're doing out there. Send these links, go to our website, share them with friends and family who may be interested. And you can feel free to call us if you have any questions. I think it's a good place to come and learn. We're here to help. But thanks for listening to us today. I kind of ramble on about why we did this and where it's going.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Harnessing Your Wealth with Billy Peterson. Before we declare the race official, please click the follow button so you can be notified when new episodes become available. For more information about today's show, please check out the show notes. Visit our website at www.petersonws.com or give us a call at 801-475-4002. Once again, thank you for listening. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Peterson Wealth Services. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.